So you were an interesting idea I was thinking of that shows a parallel between the Parsha and...
I just asked to take this for those two. They could touch. You can feel Ten Dolgin.
I don't know who Dolgin is.
She said it's fine, she'll be in touch.
Okay. A connection between the Parsha, Tazria, and Parsha Sachodesh deals with the beginnings of the redemption from Egypt. The Parsha starts with the laws of childbirth, and it's sandwiched between the laws of what animals you're allowed to eat, laws of kashrus, and the laws of tzaras, which come from speaking Lashon Hara. I think the idea is the following. Why is childbirth sandwiched between these two parshios? A human being is a combination of a body, like an animal, and a neshama, like a malach. He's not a malach and he's not an animal. He's a combination of physical and spiritual. And a person has to purify and work on seeing to it that his body is capable of letting the neshama express itself through a body like that. The neshama and the body have to work together. It's a symbiotic relationship. Each one works together with the other. So the body has to be on a level that it can help the neshama to perfect itself, and then the neshama perfects the body too, so they work together. Okay. And therefore, a person has to worry about what he brings into his body, the foods that he eats, just like he has to worry about physically, eating healthy foods or whatever, not to harm the body. He has to also worry about eating spiritually healthy foods in order that his body can be a receptacle for the neshama to be able to flourish. Because if you eat the wrong kind of impure foods, it basically stuffs up your heart, meaning your mind, from being able to access your neshama properly. Okay. And once a person is concerned, on the one hand, about what he ingests through his mouth, he also then has to, the way that a person accesses his neshama is through speech. And it's the lashon, the tongue, it's called lashon, which I think has a connection to the word lisha. Lisha means to knead dough, but it doesn't really mean kneading. It means taking a solid and a liquid and putting them together and making a compound. That's Lisha. It's one of the 39 Malachas of Shabbos. And that's what the tongue does. The tongue takes the neshama, the spiritual thoughts of a person, and combines them with sound waves and makes something, a compound called speech. So the tongue takes the neshama and helps to access it and express it externally. Okay. That's really, the Gemara says the following. That is the main work of a person in this world. How he brings his potential from the potential to the actual is through speech. And that is what is the hallmark of a human being, the fact that he can speak. Intelligent speech that makes him different than an animal. And that's what the pasuk says, Adam la'amal yulad. A person was created to toil. And the Maral Miprag explains toil means taking something potential and actualizing it. And the Gemara questions, what amal, what toil was a person created to do? Possibly he was created to toil physically. And the Chafetz Chaim explains, what was the Havamina? That the world has to be, the world is an imperfect world, raw materials, and a person was put in this world to perfect the world and to bring out its potential physically, to create the physical basis for all spirituality. So that is part of what a person was put in this world, and to perfect the physical world. And the Gemara says, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is amol peh, to work with his mouth. So Gemara says, I might think then the main thing is communication, bringing out the being able to communicate with other people and unite people together, or to use your mouth to praise God, or to praise the various good things in this world and strengthen other people, or to daven to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Gemara says, yes, that's very important also. A person brings out his potential by speech. But the major potential, realization of potential, is through Torah. Right? That a person, what's it called, brings out the potential Torah that he has and actualizes it. Okay? It comes out that the main kli, the main vessel for a person to be able to fulfill his realization of potential, his toil in this world, is through the mouth. On the one hand, what he puts into his mouth by eating, and also, and that in that way, how he's able to perfect the physical world, and also what he puts out of his mouth in Torah-wise. So the mouth is the vessel, both how it ingests and how it brings out. And that's why in the Aleph Beis, there's two peis. Pei is the word for mouth. There's a peh pasuach, it says, the peh that's open, that's in the end of the word, it's open peh. And then there's the closed peh, like a spiral in the middle and beginning of the word. I was thinking, what do those two things represent? Peh sasum represents the mouth that eats. My mother used to tell me, keep your mouth shut when you eat. Mm-hmm. So when you, what's it called, when you eat, your mouth is closed. And then there's the peh pasuach, the mouth that's open when you speak. That is the two mouths that are instrumental in a person bringing out his potential in this world, what he ingests and what he speaks. Torah, speech, and ingesting the right things to make sure that your body is capable of bringing out that Torah. Now it's interesting, before a person's born, the Gemara says that his mouth is closed, totally. And all of his food comes directly through the umbilical cord to the mother. So he doesn't eat. And also, he doesn't learn Torah per se by speaking it, but the Torah is also infused into him from an angel. So he's learning Torah with an angel, and he is getting his food supply through the umbilical cord. Then his mouth is completely closed. So before birth, a person is in a state of total passivity. He's not bringing out his potential, but he's being given that potential, right? His ability to become a human body comes from his mother, and his ability to be able to have Torah comes from an angel. And his mouth is closed. At the moment of birth, it says, that angel hits him on the mouth, and he forgets the Torah, meaning doesn't forget it, but now it becomes potential that he can bring it out through his mouth. And then he's born, and he starts to ingest on his own and build his own body through what he brings into his mouth. So the time that a person is in an embryonic stage, he's totally passive, and he's being fed physically and spiritually what potential he will have later to be able to bring out through his mouth and ingest with his mouth to be able to bring out that potential in the future. And that's why when a person's born, it creates a status of tuma, impurity by the mother, and then extra purity, because it reflects these two things. A person comes into this world with a body like an animal, which is more on the impure side, and he has to make sure to keep that pure and purify it. At the same time, he has a neshama like an angel, which is extra pure. So the status of the mother who brought that new life into the world reflects those two things. And therefore, what can impede a person's ability to use his mouth properly, to ingest the proper things and to make sure that his body is capable of purifying and perfecting himself physically and spiritually. What can impede that is eating the wrong kinds of things. So on one side, we have the parasha of eating impure things, which impede a person from fulfilling his goal in this world. On the other side, a person can use his mouth instead of for bringing out Torah, for speaking Lashon Hara, which is the antithesis of Torah. It says that there are many mitzvahs that a person can do in this world and get rewarded both in this world and the next world, and Torah, Talmud Torah, learning Torah is equal to all of them. There's another Gemara in Yerushalmi that says there are sins that a person does that he gets punished in this world and in the next world, and Lashon Hara is equal to all of them. So you see that Lashon Hara is the antithesis of Talmud Torah. And it works like that. What is Talmud Torah? Taking your tongue and mixing the spiritual and the physical in a way that you perfect yourself. And Lashon Hara is taking your tongue and uniting the physical and the spiritual for total destruction. So it's the antithesis of what Torah is. And therefore it says that a Talmud Chacham who transgressed the prohibitions of Lashon Hara, how does he correct it? By learning Torah. Because Torah is the opposite of what Lashon Hara is. And therefore the parsha of birth is sandwiched between these two things. Make sure that you don't take into your mouth things that will prevent you from being able to perfect your body in such a way that you'll be able to use that body to express your neshama and bring out the spirituality through Torah. And therefore, on one side is what you eat, what you bring into your mouth. On the other side of birth is what you take out of your mouth. Right, don't eat impure foods, don't speak impure speech, because both of them impede a person's ability to bring out his potential. And that's why we find a concept of Torah Hashem b'ficha. We learn from a pasuk that things that you use for mitzvahs, for spiritual things like tefillin, the leather that you make tefillin from has to come from a kosher animal. Because Torah Hashem b'ficha, the Torah should be in your mouth. The Torah should be from things that you're permitted to put in your mouth. We see a connection between what you put in your mouth and what comes out of your mouth, the Torah. There's a connection between them. And that's why there's another Gemara. The Gemara says, whoever puts in dainty food to his mouth, in other words, he concentrates too much on the physical of eating and drinking, not for a good purpose, but just for to fill up his stomach, so that much Torah goes out. Because the Torah and the eating, what comes into your mouth and what comes out of your mouth of Torah, are interdependent. Okay? Also, we find another connection. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from the Egyptian women, because the Rabbanu Shalom said the mouth that was going to speak with the Shechin and receive the Torah should not nurse from an impure source. You see that what you eat and the Torah that you speak have a connection one to the other. There's a medrash that says, Zvulin Toreach v'nosein lepiv shel Yisachar. It says that Zvulin and Yisachar had a partnership. Zvulin earned money and supported Yisachar, and they learned Torah, and they split the Torah learning, the Torah reward for the Torah learning, Zvulun and Yisachar. But the Medrash specifically says, what was Zvulun's part? He worked and put into the mouth of Yisachar. Meaning, it's not just the idea that he supported him, but he enabled him to ingest and to be able to eat, and to give existence to his physical side so he'd be able to have the spiritual side. So that was the partnership. Zvulun provided the physical plant for Yisachar, and Yisachar provided the spiritual side to Zvulun, and that was the partnership. But
and
it's more
Zvulun got as much merit,
right,
as Issachar.
Right, as right, as one right, and the and but it's but the fact that the Medrash says the main thing wasn't that he just supported him with money or whatever, put into his mouth, he enabled him to eat, and the eating and the Torah go
him.
Together, right? Go together. There's a Zohar that says, "Yinoter piv mikula." Person should guard his tongue from everything. What is that everything? His tongue and his mouth. He should guard it from eating the wrong things and guard it from speaking the wrong things. So you see that it goes, the two things go together. The, I mean, it could be that's the whole idea of a Sudas Mitzvah. When we do many mitzvahs, a bris, a pidyon haben, a siyum. So we make a meal. Now, Jews are always eating. Now you have a mitzvah, a yomtif, right? But there's a connection between them. Because what you eat, right, enables you to be able to then bring out your spirituality. So at a time when we're bringing out the spirituality, we want to connect that with the eating, because a person is physical and spiritual. You can't abandon or neglect either one of them. They have to go together.
The eating and the
speaking Torah or doing things that are spiritual. There's a medrash in Osios to Rabbi Akiva that says there's no organ from all the 248 organs of the body that is more fit to sing Shira than the mouth. The idea being Shira is when a person expresses his essence. And the way you express your essence is through your mouth. Because the mouth creates your essence by eating, and it expresses your essence by speaking Torah, by davening, by communicating with people in a positive way. Okay. Now that is the Sedra. Now Parshas HaChodesh. What's the connection? Parshas HaChodesh is basically the birth of the Jewish people. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, this is your beginning. So it's very similar to a birth, just like in a physical birth, the birth of an individual. The eating and the speaking are very, very significant. So too in the birth of the Jewish people, eating and speaking are very significant. What are the mitzvahs of the Pesach? What's a Pesach Seder? Pesach Seder is one of two things. Either you're eating or you're speaking. That's it. Right? There's a mitzvah to Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's mitzvahs to eat matzah and maror and the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Korban Pesach. So that is the birth of the nation is also dependent on eating and speaking. Just like the birth of a human being is beginning to eat and to speak. And that's why the Geula of Mitzrayim, the redemption from Egypt, which was the birth of the Jewish people, is connected to the letter Pei. How do I know that? Because the Medrash says that all of the redemptions in history were connected to the double letters in the Aleph Beis. Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, Chof.
All the what?
All the redemptions in history. For instance, I'm not going to tell you all of them, but I'll give you
to
these double letters. The first redemption was Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu left the double Chof, even though it's the same Chof, but it's the letter Chof, Lech Lecha, two Chofs. So the double chaf is symbolic of that first redemption. The final redemption is nachamu nachamu, double nun, right? That's another one of the letters that are double, that different between the beginning of the word and the end of the word. And the redemption of Mitzrayim was double pay, pakod pakadati. But we explained already the double pay. The double pay is the closed mouth and the open mouth, eating and speaking Torah, and that's exactly what the Seder is all about. That which represents the birth of the Jewish people revolves around using your mouth doubly. And the whole idea of Pesach is a mouth that speaks. Pesach, a mouth that speaks. And Paro, who was the antagonist to Pesach, was Pera, bad mouth. So you have the bad mouth and the mouth that speaks, and the Geula of Mitzrayim depends on those double pays. Pakod pakadati Eshem, I remembered you, right, doubly, two pays. So the whole Pesach revolves around your mouth, and the closed mouth and the open mouth, just like by birth. So here's the birth of the nation.
What was it, Nun?
Nun was Nachamu Nachamu Ami.
And what is that?
So the birth of the
nation. The other one I don't remember.
What was the one that pulled it? It was the
redemption, what was the redemption of the nun?
The nun was the final redemption. Nachamu nachama, that you should be comforted.
So the parallel in the birth of the nation, even though the mouth is closed, it in
right, no, here, really right. By the beginning of the nation form. Is opening that mouth, right, both in eating various things, there's a mitzvah, and speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why on Rosh Chodesh, which is the first mitzvah, Rosh Chodesh represents the birth of the Jewish people. This is the first month, your first month, your beginning. So Rosh Chodesh also, the Sanhedrin, had to declare with their mouth that the month is sanctified. And it says they made a special meal, Sudas Rosh Chodesh, to celebrate that Kiddush HaChodesh, that they sanctified the month. So here we see again the idea of speech and eating going together. And that's why in Yetzias Mitzrayim, along with the eating and the speaking, they also had Bris Milah. And here also in the Parsha, it mentions Bris Milah, because Bris Milah is the mitzvah that represents bringing out your potential. You're born imperfect, and you have to perfect yourself. You're not going to be born perfect. You have to make that Bris. The Bris has to be made on the person. So the Bris represents this idea of toiling and bringing out your potential. You're not born perfect, you have to perfect yourself. So therefore, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, aside from the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, they had that night the mitzvah Bris Milah, and so too in the Parsha, aside from talking about birth and talking about what you can eat and what you can speak, it also speaks about Bris Milah, because that represents the idea of perfection, perfecting yourself. And that's why Korban Pesach, this is considered the birth of the nation. It says the Korban Pesach is like a Korban of Gerus. It's like we all became Jewish at that moment, and a person who becomes Jewish, who converts, is like a newborn person. That's why the Gemara says that there's a possibility. The halach is not like that. But the Gemara has a possibility that every time somebody converts, he should have to bring a Korban Pesach on that day. Because Korban Pesach was the Korban that represented the birth of the nation. So when a person becomes reborn, when he converts, there's a possibility he should bring a Korban Pesach then. The Maisa, he doesn't, huh?
What's the difference of
Korban Pesach? The Passover sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, but what's the difference of that and Korban Yehudas?
Oh, that's a Korban the woman brings for her, not because she was born.
Yeah,
right? We're talking about
birth.
No, because she gave birth.
Right.
Right. Here we're talking about a Korban that a person brings when he's born.
That's
again.
What I'm saying.
Right?
So
not on a birth, but on your birth. In other words, there's a difference between the person who's being born bringing a sacrifice and the person bringing the life into the world bringing the sacrifice. The mother's not reborn.
So why is it not the same type of karma?
Because here, it's not the child that's bringing the sacrifice to celebrate his birth. It's the mother who's bringing the sacrifice for the process of birthing. It's a different thing. Okay. And therefore, what's it called? Therefore, every year we renew our birth as a nation. It renews itself, so we're involved in both of those things, eating and speaking. That's the mitzvahs of Pesach. And therefore, in preparation for Pesach, a person should prepare himself for both of those things to make sure that his body is perfected to the point where it's capable of bringing out its spiritual potential. And that's by making sure that you keep the body healthy, spiritually and physically, and that you use your mouth, aside from ingesting the right things, for letting the right things come out of your mouth, right, to speak Torah, to speak tefillah, to speak positive spiritual things, and not the antithesis of all of that, which is lashon hara and other kinds of impure speech. But I think that's an interesting parallel between the Sedra and Parshas HaChodesh, and the ideas in the birth of the nation and the birth of a person, and it all revolves around your mouth. That's Pesach, mouth, what you put into your mouth and what comes out of your mouth. Okay. Yes.
I missed the part, or I didn't understand the connection between Bris Milah
And yeah, because Bris Milah is the mitzvah that represents this idea that a person has to perfect himself. We're saying now that perfection of a person begins at birth. Till birth, your mouth is closed, and you're passive, and you're getting your food from your mother, and you're getting your Torah from an angel. Once you're born, your mouth opens,
and you begin
to ingest actively, right, to build yourself up. Where do we know this is an idea that a person has to build himself up? He wasn't created perfect from Bris Milah. Bris Milah, if a person was created perfect, he should be created already with a bris. The idea is you're created imperfect and you have to perfect yourself.
So the baby doesn't speak, obviously.
Right, the baby says the baby...
It just says...
The first thing the baby does is cry. So he does. Does, what's it called? The first thing a person does in this world...
He's missing all the Torah that was just taken away.
Okay, but that's the idea. Now your mouth is open. Use it to ingest what's proper and bring out what's proper.